Welcome back to the Jordan Syatt Mini Podcast. Thank you so much for listening. In this episode, I speak with Inner Circle member Raylan, who has seen extraordinary progress over the last couple of months. And we talk about, number one, what she's done in order to lose weight and get stronger, get very close to her first push-up ever. And we also talk about a lot of the struggles she's been having and how we think she can overcome them as well. I hope you enjoyed the episode. If you do, please leave a 5-star review on iTunes. Have a wonderful day. Let's get into it. Raylan.
Hi, Jordan. How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
Good. I wasn't sure if this was going to be video or not, so that's awesome.
Yeah, absolutely. Can you hear me okay? Is everything good?
Yeah, you can hear me all right.
Absolutely. And am I pronouncing your name properly, by the way? It's Raylan?
Raylan, yep.
Okay, perfect. Just want to make sure I'm not completely screwing that up.
Yeah.
How are you?
I'm good. I'm trying to avoid a bunch of noise. There's like yard workers and stuff right now, so I'm like trying to keep
totally
it all in the
fine
background.
No worries. It's I realized very early on into moving to New York City that I would never be able to ever do a video or podcast without noise in the background for as long as I lived here. So it's totally fine. You're in Alaska, correct?
Yeah, I'm in Anchorage. Yep.
That's super cool. Have you lived there your whole life?
I have, born and raised. I only lived out of state for a year when I was 17 in San Diego and Salt Lake City.
Okay.
Yeah.
Did you like San Diego and Salt Lake?
I love San Diego. It's kind of a second home. My mom lives there. She moved there when I was about 16, 17. And that was the reason why I went down there when I was 17, was to be with her. But then I came back and graduated up in Alaska. And Salt Lake is beautiful, but way too hot for me. Way, way, way too hot. Even at times San Diego was too hot. And because I mean, being Alaska, I mean, we're getting hotter and hotter weather as the years progress. The seasons are changing, but not used to those like 90-100 degree days.
Oh yeah, so, those are brutal.
Yeah.
So but you like Alaska, you like living there?
Oh yeah. I love it up here.
That's amazing.
I love to travel too, though, so I end up missing. It gives me a chance to miss Alaska when I travel.
Yeah, have you traveled outside the U.S. at all?
Only to I've been to England, Scotland, Ireland, and Paris. That's
pretty cool to me. That sounds awesome.
Yeah. I want to travel a lot more, but
that's amazing. Well, listen, I want to thank you for taking the time to hop on and chat with me. I really appreciate it a lot. And this is 100% your time. I know that in the email you outlined generally like what you'd like to talk about, but the floor is yours. This is your time. Anything you want to chat about, anything I can help with, that's what I'm here for.
Okay. Well, awesome. I've been following you for probably about a year or so. And then, I think just with the COVID stuff, I needed something to, be able to focus on working out from home. And so that's why once the Kick Corona and the Dick came out, I was like, shit, I'm joining.
How have you done with it? How was it?
Well, and it's funny because I was originally going to join for that, but then I was looking at the Unicorn Strong Challenge, and that's what I ended up starting with. And I kind of like supplemented some workouts with Kick Corona and the Dick, but I haven't done like the full month challenge.
I love that.
Yeah.
I love that. So I'm going to be super honest with you. This makes me very happy. So there's something when I first became a coach. I know this is going to be completely off topic from what we were going to talk about, but this is actually super interesting for me. When I first became a coach, I was obsessed with giving people the absolute best program, no matter what. Like, it had to be the perfect program. And if it wasn't perfect, if it wasn't optimal, it wasn't like the single best program ever, then it wasn't worth it. And I realized over the years that something is always better than nothing, always, right? Doing something. And I realized that what's perfect for one person might actually be detrimental for someone else. And what's perfect on paper might actually end up causing someone to not actually work out. Maybe it's too intense, or it's too overwhelming, whatever it is. So one of the things about the Inner Circle is, I think for me, part of what I do is trying to find ways to make it more accessible to everybody, right? And that was one of the main reasons behind the Kit Corona and the Dick Challenge. I knew there were a lot of people who did not have access to body weight, to strength training routines. They didn't have access to weights, to gyms, whatever it is. So I was like, I need to come up with something that allows people to work out without equipment. But the ideal here is to eventually progress them into strength training using weights and equipment and using external loading and high level strength training. But if I had just said at the very beginning, just do this, the Unicorn Strong Challenge, just do this weights workout, so many people might have never tried it because they wouldn't have come in, whereas they did come in specifically because of Kit Corona and the Dick. So that actually makes me very happy to hear that you did that right off the bat, because again, something is always better than nothing, but sometimes you have to give people what they want in order for them to get what they need, if that makes sense.
Oh, totally. Yeah. Well, and, you know, one of the things over the last couple months, just from following you, is I was trying to figure out the whole calorie deficit situation, and you simplified it so well, but I, at the same time, I was like, really, how does that work? Really? I was like, that still sounds like too many calories to eat. What do I do? And then, reading through all the material after joining, like it all just started to really click together. Cause for some reason, just watching the YouTube videos and not having all the material wasn't quite making it click. And I was like, you know, I'm just so glad I joined. That's really just what it is. I'm just so glad I joined, just because with the Unicorn Strong, I'm sorry, I'm having a brain fart.
Okay, no worries. I brain fart all day. Awesome.
Well, I think what I liked about your calculation for the calorie deficit is that the goal body weight doesn't have to be what your actual goal is.
Correct.
It's more maybe strive for a little bit more, but basically focus on the goal. So like my body weight, right, or my weight right now is 187, but okay, my attainable goal is 170, but I'm using 150 as my calculation, because I felt like at 170 that was too much food. I was like, I'm never gonna eat that much food.
That's perfect.
But and the Unicorn Strong, like it was really frustrating the first month, very very frustrating, because I'm like, oh, I'm tracking everything. It's like a full-time job just tracking my food, and God, that's so much freaking protein. How am I going to get all this shit in? So it was really kind of like it was more of a trial and error month for me. And I kind of set the precedence in place. It's like, if you fail, don't beat the fuck out of yourself.
Yes.
Don't do that. And I told my boyfriend that too. I was like, if I start giving myself a hard time, tell me to fucking stop. Just tell me to stop, because it's kind of a trial and error period. And I started at 194. And,
wow.
And so, and I'm down to 187. I'm
oh
in
my
the
God,
second
that's
month.
Amazing.
So yeah, I'm kind of excited with the progress.
And that's incredible.
Yeah.
Wow, congrats. That's amazing.
And I can see it in my progress photos too. And I think that's what's helping me stay even more motivated, is not even just the scale, but the fact that I can truly see differences in my tummy, some of my, you know, my muscles and my legs are tightening, you know, it's anyway.
No, this, I'm so bad. You've heard me talk about the motivation loop, right? How people say, well, how do I get motivated? Mm-hmm. And it's, you don't just get motivated. You first have to take action. From that action, then you see results. And then from those results, then you get motivated. And then with that motivation, you take more action. You literally just outlined exactly that. You're like, well, listen, I'm seeing these results from the initial action that you took. But what I love about what you just said is the first month sucked. Like it was really hard. You have to track your calories, and I don't care how long someone's been doing it, no one enjoys tracking their calories. No one is like, oh yeah, I get to calculate my calories in this food. Like, no one enjoys that. What happens is it gets easier over time. The question is, are you willing to dedicate 30 days to actually learning it so that you can then benefit for the rest of your life? And so literally, you just exemplified that exact loop perfectly. First, you take action, even when you don't want to do it, even when it's hard. Then you get results from that action. And then from those results, you get motivated to take more action. That I'm so impressed. So I'm beyond impressed with you.
Well, thanks. I impressed myself. And I mean, this is maybe TMI, but I was like running down the stairs in my underwear to say goodbye to my boyfriend. He was like, I can see a difference.
And I love like, that.
That's so cool. I mean, he sees me every freaking day. So for the fact that he can actually see a difference, you know, one day he's.
I love it. I'm super happy and excited about that. And I'm beyond impressed. And I'm glad that you're impressed with yourself. Like, I think it's something a lot of people, they don't discuss. Like, they're almost scared to be proud of themselves. They're scared to, like, give themselves any props, right? To say, like, well, I'm pretty proud of myself for doing that. So I love, like, I'm impressed with you. And I love that you're impressed with you. It says a lot.
Thanks. Well, and I've learned to try to be more proud of myself for different things, because I won't go into like the whole story, but about 10 years ago, I was struggling with a shoulder injury, and then I was getting therapy for it. And it was just a repetitive use injury from sitting at a desk. I mean, it's just stupid that you can get an injury from sitting at a desk. And I mean, and back then I was 150 pounds, and sometimes I still cannot believe that I am, you know, made it 10 years almost to 200 pounds. I'm like, how the hell did that happen? But I know how it happened. But, and then while I was going through that therapy, I had a really bad fall, which impacted my shoulder even more. And I cracked my sternum.
Ooh.
And yeah, it was awful. And I, for months, I couldn't lift more than like 5 or 10 pounds because I had just this splitting pain, literally, in my chest.
Literally, so, a splitting pain, right?
Literally.
In your chest.
Yeah. And I had to struggle through pain medications and different things that I was going through and whatever. And I actually had a really nice, lengthy conversation on the Inner Circle with another member that can kind of relate to some of the struggles I had to go through with medication. It wasn't an addiction. It was I had to be on them, but I didn't want to be on them, and there was no easy way to get off of them, and I had to like count out these microbeads 10 a week just to get off this medication for like 7 months. I mean, it was awful, but I mean if you find that conversation in Inner Circle, it was actually really like healing, I think, for me and that other member. I'm spacing on her name right now, anyway.
Yeah.
But it was really kind of, wow, somebody can actually relate to this like weird medication reliance. And so back then I didn't really have the know-how on counting calories and figuring out why I was gaining weight. And I couldn't exercise, which, you know, I didn't really know at the time that nutrition was the bigger part of that than it was just about the exercise. But I used to feel like I was a powerhouse. Like, I used to think of myself as Wonder Woman. I was so strong. I did all the things. And over the years, I've become this kind of insecure, weak little person, not necessarily like emotionally, psychologically, whatever, but just the physical aspect, which can wear on the mental.
Absolutely, it does.
And anyways, I over the years, I've tried to make these small gains and I'm proud of myself, but then there's always a setback, and there's another setback. Like last spring, I rolled my ankle right at the beginning of spring, but right at the beginning of summer, when I was like, I was wanting to do this like 27-mile backcountry hike, and I couldn't do it at all that summer because of how badly I rolled my ankle.
Was it like a third-degree sprain?
It was a tear.
Awful. Okay.
Yeah, it was really bad. I couldn't even ride my bike. I barely could drive because pushing the pedal, and it was stupid. Anyways, over the last 10 years, it's been this struggle of, hey, I made some progress and here's another setback, you know, here's another injury or here's another whatever. And I started getting, I started a new job a couple years ago, and I'm back in a crappy desk situation. So I had to get reevaluated for like an ergonomic setup, and started getting evaluation for like physical therapy or if I need surgery. And anyways, so I was in physical therapy this last fall, up until COVID really kicked in, and then of course the clinic closed and all of that. And so, you know, I would focus on my exercises at home and whatnot. And I was making gains that way in some small ways. Like I learned that my shoulder blades, I kept rolling forward too much. And so in physical therapy, I was learning mostly to figure out how to re-engage my shoulder blades and pull back instead of, I mean, I've seen in so many of your videos where, you know, don't shrug your shoulders and things like that. And I'm like, that's what I used to do. And it's interesting, all these little body mechanics that can really be more harmful than helpful. And, that has, helped me a lot, but, wanted to backtrack a little bit. Where my like mental status has been is because of these setbacks.
Yep.
I keep losing confidence in myself to progress in like the outdoor activities that I want to do. I feel like I end up losing confidence if there's a failure. And one of my big goals right now is to scuba dive. And I'm not like this super, super strong swimmer. And with scuba diving, you don't necessarily have to be like a professional swimmer, but in certain circumstances, you do certainly need the strength and the know-how and whatnot. And this past winter, I was working towards scuba diving. And if you can imagine Alaska, we do actually have winter scuba diving. And so I was working towards that, but then I went to go visit my mom in San Diego, and I was like, oh, okay, well, maybe I'll work towards getting certified in Alaska through, I don't know if you know the steps of scuba dive certification, but
literally not one.
Oh, so you start with getting certified online. Okay. There's an online training you take, or you go through a classroom, and then you go do a pool certification, which I advanced through that. And I had my struggles there, but I did it. I certified. And then, in San Diego, I decided, so then the next step is to get an open swim or, open water certification. So in the ocean, in a lake, something like that. And, in San Diego, you can do a boat, you can go off of a boat, or you can start from the shore and work your way into a certain depth to, work on the skills with a, instructor and things like that. And anyways, long story short, I wish I'd done the boat because they could have found, safer areas, calmer areas to do the certification. I ended up doing the shore diving because it was half the cost. But the waves were really, really strong. Even by the time we got out to the point, we got out there, but by the time we got out to the point where we could dive, I made it down 20 feet into the water, and the surge was just so strong, it kept knocking me over. And I just kept thinking, I was like, am I too weak for this? And then as we're like swimming back, my legs were in total failure. It was just awful. I couldn't even stand by the time we got back to shore. And imagine you're in a wetsuit,
right,
with a tank on, plus to counteract your body's buoyancy, they add additional weights. So I had an extra 30 pound of weights on my belt.
Oh my God.
Here I have, here I'm like 194 pounds, an extra 100 pounds of gear on my body. And we get to the shore and I cannot even stand. I'm like,
jeez.
And the waves kept knocking me over. It was embarrassing. It was like, anyway, and then like recently my boyfriend and I, we were trying to go out kayaking in a creek. I mean, it's like the deepest areas are maybe like 4 feet, but we didn't get off in the water except for like 1 minute in, and I get flipped over and I immediately am scared. And I'm like, I'm not going to continue this. We get the kayaks out. It was a struggle. I don't know. I just feel like maybe I keep biting off more than I can chew. Maybe I'm not strong enough. Maybe I need to get stronger. How do I get stronger for this? How do I feel more confident? I want to take advantage of the adventurous stuff I can do up here. And I don't know where to start. I don't know how to train for it. It's,
yeah,
you know, anyways, that's kind of like where I'm at mentally, and just trying to get there. So I don't know if you have any tips, if you've ever worked with like really outdoorsy people.
Well, yeah, of course. So, I mean, here's what I think. How many times have you scuba dived in total, like actually out in freshwater?
So twice. So before I did my certification the certification, my mom and I went to Catalina Island. So mm-hmm. beautiful. And they do this kind of like explore dive where you don't have to be certified for it.
Okay.
And it was amazing. It was so calm. It was so beautiful. It's a total, like, is this really on Earth? You know, kind of
right,
experience.
Just beautiful, like, yeah.
Just amazing. And we went down about 40 feet was the furthest we went. And
how'd you do with that?
Like, it was great. We were down there for probably a half an hour. And
did you have extra weight?
I did have extra weight at that point.
So how much weight did you have on you?
I think it was about the same amount as what I had on the shore dive. The only difference was that on the shore dive, I had a hood, which mm-hmm. I had never used one of those before. And I was wearing gloves. Mm-hmm. And that was the other struggle I had. And the hood ended up like choking me. So trying to figure out how to navigate all that, feeling weak and feeling like you're choking is kind of
not
awful.
To mention a difference in like the force of the waves, correct?
Right.
So here's what I'm going to say. I'm going to use an example from my life because I think it'll make sense.
Mm-hmm.
Earlier today, I did jujitsu with a black belt and a brown belt. I'm a white belt. So the rankings go white belt, blue belt, purple belt, brown belt, black belt. To get a black belt takes at least 10 years. The black belt that I was working with, who's giving me some one-on-one sessions, he's been doing it for 25 years. The brown belt has been doing it for about 8 years or so. And I've been doing it for about a year, okay? So now keep in mind, like, I wrestled my whole life. Like, I have a grappling background. I consider myself pretty strong and able to handle myself in any most physical altercations. These two destroyed me.
Mm-hmm.
They make me look like a rag doll. Like, I'm a world record powerlifter. I've deadlifted 530 pounds with a body weight of 132. I wrestled for a decade. I've done jiu-jitsu for a year. These two make me look like a house elf. Like, these two make me look like a newborn baby house elf with no bones in my body, as though like I just can't do anything.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you being in the water, in that very forceful water with a lot of the waves and the hood and everything going on, that was like you going up against a black belt and you being discouraged that it was so difficult for you is like me going up against a black belt and being like, why can't I compete with him? It's like, well, he's been doing it for 25 years and you've been doing it for a year. But meanwhile, you had about the same amount of weight on you in another area, and it was beautiful, and you were able to do it, and it was fantastic. And you haven't done it that many times. You've done it twice.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be like if on my first jiu-jitsu class, I went against a black belt, and I was like, oh, I just can't do anything. It's like, no shit. Like, you've done this one time. I think, candidly, I think you're being very hard on yourself. That's really what I think it boils down to. Not to mention, there's so much skill that goes into this. So, for example, I'll use jiu-jitsu again. One thing that my coach keeps reminding me in jiu-jitsu every couple minutes, she's like, breathe, breathe, breathe. Because when you're doing something that you aren't comfortable with, mm-hmm. you tense up. You often hold your breath, almost like a max effort deadlift or a max effort lift, right? You take a big breath and you squeeze and you brace because you don't know what's going to happen. You're just like trying to tense up. It's a natural human response. The more comfortable you get with something, the more relaxed you can be. It's almost like if you watch world-class elite sprinters, right? When they're sprinting, you see their face muscles just like, like you see like the face fat just going, their cheeks just jiggling all around.
Yeah.
Because they've trained themselves to relax every muscle that doesn't need to be tense. Mm. They tense up their hamstrings, they tense up their quads, they're powering through, but all of the muscles that do not need to be tensed are completely relaxed. And it's really a beautiful thing when you think about it, to be in such a high stress situation, but calm and relaxed while you're doing it, and to almost be able to turn it off and turn it on at will, turn it on in some areas, turn it off in others. That's true mastery. And I think what you're doing is you're comparing your experience to what you think it should be like, when the reality is you're just going through the learning process. Mm-hmm. And it's like, well, how do you get stronger as a scuba diver? I guarantee you, if you ask any high-level scuba diver, they'd say, scuba dive more. They would say, start in areas in which you're not going to get tossed around. Don't go to areas that the waves are super forceful yet. Start out in the easier areas so you can get used to it. Then maybe try the hood on in an area that's easier, that's not as forceful, so you can get used to what's going on with it. Then maybe go out into some deeper, more forceful areas and understand that as you progress to more difficult places, you're going to have more difficulty. It's going to be harder. And the only way to get better is to go through those stressful periods. It's fun. I'm reading a book right now. It's called Anti-Fragile. It's one of my favorite books of all time. The idea of when we think of something fragile, we think of something that, like, for example, the vase on your kitchen table, living room table, whatever it is. A vase is fragile, right? It doesn't like change. It doesn't like spontaneity. It wouldn't like it if your 5-year-old nephew ran head on into the table and knocked it off, because it's very fragile. It would break. The idea of anti-fragility is the literal opposite of what it means to be fragile. And I think a lot of times people think their first immediate response to whatever the opposite of fragile is might be, okay, well, maybe it's sturdy or resilient, or it could fall off the table, but it won't break. That's not what anti-fragile is. Anti-fragile is you actually get stronger. You actually get better from the things that could harm you. So for example, if you had a vase that when it broke, it grew bigger and stronger. So it would break, but it would come back stronger. Or maybe it doesn't actually break, but maybe it falls on the ground and it literally solidifies even stronger than it was mm-hmm. before, right? So for example, like if you break a bone and or like you fall down and have a huge smack on your arm, whatever it is, instead of your bone breaking, it literally fortifies itself even stronger. This like superhuman thing. And if you think about it, humans, in given the right opportunity, we're anti-fragile. Think about this. Think about muscles. When you go to the gym, the only way to make your muscle stronger is to first break it down, is to damage it, mm-hmm. right? You will not get a stronger, bigger muscle if you do not put it under enough stress to break it down, to damage it. The only way your muscles can get stronger is through damage. Mm-hmm. That is the most unbelievable thing to me. Literally, let's damage your muscles so they come back stronger. That is anti-fragile. Mm-hmm. That is the quintessence of anti-fragile. So for you, going into the water, going this very deep, these powerful waves, if you come out of that and you're just demolished and you're tired and your muscles are aching, but you come out of it and then you go back in and you try it again a week later or whatever it is, guarantee you'll be better for it. Guarantee you'll have new skills. Will it be scary? Absolutely. But overcoming that fear makes you more anti-fragile. That makes you more, not just robust and resilient, but literally better. It literally makes you stronger. And the only way to get stronger for that is to actually do it. When people say, how do I get stronger at squatting? Squat more. How do you get stronger at deadlifting? Deadlift more. How do you get stronger at being a great scuba diver? You fucking scuba dive more. That is the answer. Does that make sense?
It does. It's just silly how simple that is and sounds and The only complication with just scuba dive more is that
it's expensive, I'm assuming.
Well, it's expensive, but I also still have to get certified before I can scuba dive. Like, I literally cannot just go to a scuba shop
right.
and rent equipment unless I can prove I'm certified. Makes you know, which sense. Is yeah, because it's safety
smart.
And yeah, smart and everything. And so yeah, totally. I want to scuba dive more. I just have to have the finances to get
so
the
what about
certification. But
what about, for example, getting is it? Can you buy gear and then go into a swimming pool and do? Because I'm assuming there are lessons or something you could do without actually going into the ocean.
I potentially could buy gear. I don't know. But that's also a safety thing. Is that if mm-hmm. generally with scuba diving, you're supposed to have a partner.
Makes sense.
Because, because you share air. Like, if my air tank ran out, then they should have a reserve and
Got
you
it.
Share air. You know, it's, and that is the same case in the pool. If I'm having struggles trying to get my equipment off, and some people drown in just 10 feet of water.
I believe
because,
it.
You know, so it's insane.
How strong is your swimming?
I can go for quite a long time just with my legs. I'm not fast, but fast isn't necessarily
right.
better. So one of the tests in the pool is you have to tread water for 10 minutes straight without stopping, without assistance and whatever, you know, and
can you do that?
And I can't, well, I had to, yeah, I can. And I had to, so in order to progress. So, I struggled because, I wanted to train a bit in advance, but things kind of progressed really quickly. I struggled during it, but I still did it. My head was above. I didn't, you know.
I would say like try and make it to 20 minutes, build up to mm-hmm. that, or put on your wetsuit without necessarily the tank or anything and do it work up to 20 minutes doing that. Or maybe even my mind goes to, and this might be terrible swimming advice, I don't know, but my mind goes to get a weighted vest, mm-hmm. right? The weighted vest that people use for weightlifting and tread water with that. Go in a shallow mm-hmm. end of the pool and tread water for 5 minutes with a weighted vest, then 10 minutes with a weighted vest. My mind, so as a programmer, as a strength design, how can we specifically improve your scuba strength even if you can't actually scuba dive? That's where my mind goes.
Those are really good tips. And I'm going to consider that first, staying in like a shallow end and things like that. It's hard because I feel like I have to go and talk to another instructor a little bit more about that kind of stuff, you know.
Smart.
To kind of see, you know, what they suggest as well. But like, you know, I'll go to those shops and they're like, I'm not a swimmer, but I love scuba diving. You know, it's kind of funny. They don't go to the gym. They don't do anything. They just go scuba dive. And, you know, so it's not like they have these ripped goals, but I don't know. For some reason, I just feel like I'm weaker in some areas, and it's, cause then you do look at some of them and it's really great. I had a bad impression of scuba diving initially. I had somebody that I was going to scuba dive with, a few years back, and he was like, yeah, let's get you trained. You can be my partner and whatever, but you need to lose weight. And so I always had this impression that I wasn't going to be fit enough for this. And I went and talked to one of our local shops, and she was like, absolutely not. You can be whatever weight. She herself is a pretty curvy girl. And I was really impressed to see the variety of body sizes and body types. And yeah, some of them are absolutely athletic. They do triathlons and all this stuff, but some of them, you know, they're just like, this is all I do. I just scuba dive. That's it. You know?
Yeah.
Anyways, that's why sometimes I feel like, what am I doing wrong? You know, if they can just go scuba dive and not do anything else, like, what is it that I'm doing wrong? I don't know.
Well, how long have they been scuba diving?
Well, that's they've been scuba diving for years, but
issue. You're being so hard on yourself for no reason. It's crazy. It's like, you're completely and utterly comparing yourself to someone who is at a point that is radically higher than you. Like, if you take someone who's been scuba diving for years,
yeah,
you understand they're significantly better at scuba diving than you, right?
Right.
Like,
I know.
That's not an insult. That's just a fact. It's like someone who's been doing something for years that you've done twice is like, okay, yeah, that makes sense. Mm-hmm. That's why I love the jiu-jitsu example. It shows very similarly. It'd be like if I went to a competition and I decided to compete in the black belt division or even the blue belt division, which is literally – it takes someone about 2 years to get their blue belt. I've been doing it for a year. I have my white belt. It's like if I went up against someone who's been doing it for a couple years more than me and I was mad that they beat me, like what the hell am I talking about? Maybe I've done a total of, I don't know, 100 total classes, right? Mm-hmm. But they've done 300 total classes. It's like, no wonder they're better than me. Mm-hmm. It's like you're comparing yourself to other people, which I don't think is inherently bad. The issue is when you compare yourself to other people and allow that comparison to give you a false idea, a false notion that you are not worthwhile or worthy or capable. Mm-hmm. Able, when the reality is it's like everyone starts from zero. Mm-hmm. Everybody. Some people naturally are better at certain things, of course. It's like, listen, everyone starts from zero, but I am never going to be in the NBA because I suck at basketball. I am terrible. I am truly remarkably awful at basketball, and there's no way, no matter how hard I try, I'm ever going to play in the NBA. But if I actually started playing basketball several times a week and got a coach and consistent, I bet I'd be okay. But you can't compare your chapter one to someone else's chapter 15. And if you do compare yourself to your chapter one to someone else's chapter 15, then you better at least be honest and objective with yourself enough to say, that's their chapter 15 and this is my chapter one. And by the way, it's a completely different fucking book.
No, and you're so right. I mean, I really try to keep that in mind whenever I'm doing something new. And I think I have sort of compared myself to these people, but at the same time, I also hear what they have to say and how they say, like, well, so-and-so, you know, comes in with no experience and they're a rock star, you know, all they want to do is come scuba dive and they don't work out or anything like that. So I think that's the part that I compare to is that they say you don't really have to be a fit person to do this, you know, and
I'm sure it makes a lot of sense from a marketing perspective to tell people that. Like most people are not gonna like be like, I'm gonna pay a significant amount of money to do something that I'm probably not gonna be able to do. Like that makes a lot of sense to me from a business perspective. Like
no. I know. And it is a good point though that, you know, the Catalina experience was so much more calm and peaceful. Yeah, there was still like surges of water and things like that. And I wasn't under the pressure of getting certified.
Yeah, it's completely different. For that too. That is not only this, I'm glad you brought that up. That is a completely and utterly different psychological state to be in. This is, I'm not just making this up. This is very clear in the scientific research around performance, around like, it's very different when you're practicing, when you're in the gym versus when you're competing on stage, like versus when you're practicing with a team, when you're playing in an actual game, whatever it is. It's like when you're just doing it for fun versus when there's actually something on the line.
Mm-hmm.
It becomes a completely different game. And I'm glad you brought that up because being aware of that is super, super important. It's one thing to go to the cat. Whenever you say Catalina, I just think Catalina wine mixer.
I know.
I literally almost said it. It's one thing to go to the Catalina wine mixer and just like relax, but it's one thing to go there and relax and enjoy and see the beauty of it. You weren't in that water looking for the beauty of stuff. Like you were like, I want to get certified right now. It's a very different mindset to be in, which immediately puts you in a stress response. Mm-hmm. But that'll be one of the greatest things for you to realize as you get better at scuba diving is when you can be in a very stressful situation and appreciate the beauty of it. Mm-hmm. That shows, it's one of my favorite things to say is, when I competed in powerlifting, as I got better and better and better and better, I competed in powerlifting for almost a decade. And near the end of my career, whenever I would have a lifter or a group of lifters or my powerlifting team compete, I would require each of them before, literally as they were walking out to the platform to do their max effort lift, I would require them to tell me a one-liner joke before this max effort lift. And most powerlifters you see on TV and whatever, they're like smacking their face and snorting ammonia and whatever. And it's like, they're super angry. And I'm like, no. Tell me a one-liner. Like, let's just joke for a second. And this is something that I had to learn through the years of learning how to be calm and relaxed in a time of very high stress. And you can only reach that through mastery of something. You mm-hmm. can only reach that through a point in which you're totally relaxed being stressed out, right? And you can only do that through years and years and years of experience. So I think that you're being hard on yourself, which, like, that's human nature. We're all hard on ourselves. Right. But I'm very excited to hear how you progress with scuba diving and to hear – I'm excited to hear all of the stories in which you struggle, but you overcome it. Sort mm-hmm. of like the Unicorn Strong Challenge. The first month was really difficult, but you didn't give up. You didn't stop. You didn't say, oh, I'm just not made out for this. I'm not cut out for this. You're like, all right, like, I'm just going to keep going and keep trying. Same thing with scuba diving. Same thing with kayaking. It's I think about construction workers, right? And I look out my window right now because there's construction everywhere right now. But I mean, I remember working summers, like doing construction and doing manual labor and stuff like that. And I remember at the beginning of summers, like if I hadn't been doing it all school year, like my hands would get calloused. I'd like hit my fingers when I was using a hammer, whatever it was. By the end of the summer, I was knocking that stuff in. I was super good. I was efficient. I was stronger. I could lift things up. I could go all over the place. It's just like, If I had asked, well, how do you get stronger as someone working manual labor? Mm-hmm. They would laugh. They'd be like, in Boston, they'd be like, good luck, kid. Just fucking lift more weights. So fucking pick up the barrel of cement, whatever it is. Like, it's just like, keep going. Shut the fuck up. Right. It's like, that's how they'd act. But it's just do more of what you want to get better at. That's it. And it's progressive. And if I compared myself to Jerry, who was one of the guys there who'd been doing it for 30 years and he could have a Budweiser while he's doing his fucking work on the whatever, it's like that wouldn't have made much sense. But you see the progression over time. And that's why you got to stop comparing yourself to other people in other chapters of a different book and just start focusing on you getting a little bit better and finding a way to enjoy it. That's really it.
No, that's true. And it's just funny that you brought up that comparison, because I literally this weekend was working. My boyfriend's in construction. Like, that is, he's a commercial carpenter. And we were building a shed in our backyard. And we, meaning mostly him, and I'm just like nodding when he like asks me a question or something. But, you know, he's had me screwdriving some screws and hammering some nails and painting some shit, and he's like back there pounding Heinekens and like IPAs, and I'm just like, my shoulder and my back hurt so bad and I suck at this and I keep breaking off screw heads and I was like, this sucks. He was like, it's okay, just keep, you know, just keep practicing, keep doing it.
That's right.
Like, I don't want to do it anymore.
Exactly, you're right. It's funny. It's like, I don't know why this is one of the first things that comes to mind as well, is I love going to a great sushi restaurant and watching the chef cut the sushi and prepare the sushi, because they make it look so easy. They make, like, sushi is an art. Like, sushi is an art form. And I know in Japan, they honor it greatly. And there's a famous story of one of the greatest sushi chefs in the world who would have his students, he wouldn't allow his students to stand next to him to learn from him. What he would do is he'd have them stand in a, like in the, like the, basically if he's at the front counter, he'd have them stand in the kitchen behind him, and they'd have to look out of the kitchen to watch him. And his reasoning was, if they're standing right next to me and they get full access to see what I'm doing, it's very easy for them to, you know, just stop paying attention. But when they have to fight to actually see what I'm doing, they focus much more. They look much more closely when they can't see directly what I'm doing. I always love that. But it doesn't matter what skill we're talking about. You could be talking about squatting. You could be talking about filleting salmon. You could be talking about hammering in a nail. You could be talking about scuba diving. You could be talking about developing a better relationship with a significant other. Whatever it is, It all takes time and practice and skill, and the only way to get stronger and better at it is to fail and fail and fail and fail until one day you're sort of okay at it, and then you fail and fail and fail and fail, and then you're sort of more okay with it, and fail and fail and fail and fail until, like, you're okay, and then you keep going and keep going and keep going.
No, I appreciate that. And for the most part, I've embraced failure over the last few years. Like, as a kid growing up and stuff, like, if I failed, it killed me. I think more because, you know, the parent pressure of, like, being better and being perfect and whatever. But as an adult, as I've learned, I actually really learned something from that failure. But yeah, I mean, there's these times and down moments where, yeah, I didn't get my scuba certification. That fucking sucks. You know, okay, let's try again. And, it is important to kind of look and learn from those failures and, in order to progress. And, I've just recently been going back to school, and there's, like, certain assignments that I was, like, not doing great on, but it's interesting, my perspective now, learning from that and how, figuring out what it is I did wrong, how to get better with that. And anyways, just, basically I'm agreeing with you. I just reflecting on the past, you know, few years and how my perspective has changed on embracing failure.
I love that. I love that. So was this helpful? Like, did it put things in perspective at all?
Totally. I know you can't really see what I'm doing as far as my progression and things like that, but it's really interesting how, since I haven't been in physical therapy, I've been doing, you know, the 3 times a week exercises with the Unicorn Strong. I haven't been able to do a push-up in years, and I don't know what it is about, I don't know if it's just, like, following your guys' techniques or what. I still can't do a full push-up. Like, I still have to go on my knees, or I have to elevate, like, on a windowsill or something like that. Occasionally, I will try to do one full push-up, but I couldn't even do that, you know, 2 months ago, you know,
that's so amazing.
I'm just kind of shocked in some way that, like, I couldn't even do that in physical therapy. It's like, how the hell am I progressing just by watching your videos and following your programs? And I'm just curious if you've heard that from other people, or how you think that has helped with progression. And
yeah. So first and foremost, congrats. That's amazing. And by the way, I don't know if you heard, I did in the live today. Were you in the live today?
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I saw your name come up. There, I'm putting out the push-up manual, like the push-up mastery manual.
I'm going to miss that.
It's going to, obviously, all the Inner Circle members get it for free. So you're going to have it for free. But there's a specific program in there there's 3 programs in there. One is for anyone who can't do one push-up. So to get your very first real push-up, the next is to get your very first 10 push-ups, and the next is to get your one arm push-up if you want that. So 3 different programs in there, and I guarantee by the end of that, you'll be doing a full push-up without question. But huge congrats on your progress thus far. Like, that is amazing. I'll tell you, I'm assuming you aren't going to expect this answer, but this is what I think is actually the truth. Obviously, you have the technique videos from Susan and I in the Inner Circle and the programming, which I stand by 100%. And obviously, I think, like, my programming is the best in the world, or else, like, that'd be very weird if I didn't. Like, I think my programming is very good. But I don't actually think that's why – I don't think that's the driving force, the main reason. I'm sure it's a percentage of the reason, but I think the main reason you're noticing these results, and I think oftentimes many people do – is actually because you're actually starting to believe in yourself. And I think that there's a word for this, and it's called self-efficacy. And it's the belief in your ability to succeed. And I'm assuming, and tell me if I'm wrong, because there's a strong chance I'm wrong. I'm wrong a lot. But I'm assuming that there's been up to this point, you might have never actually believed you could do a full push-up, that, like, it wasn't like, well, there's just no way that I'm going to do that. But through watching the technique videos and through watching and through the programming and through watching yourself get a little bit stronger, you're actually starting to believe, like, I can do this. Like, this is actually going to happen. And the more you believe in your ability to succeed, crazy enough, the more likely you are to succeed. The way that I always frame this, the example I always use is, let's say you had $0 in your bank account, God forbid, right? Let's just say $0 in your bank account. And I told you that if you spent $10,000 on lottery tickets today, that you would have a 98% chance of winning the Mega Millions, then I would imagine you would find a way to raise $10,000 and get those lottery tickets, because that's free money and it's free millions of dollars, right? It's like 98% chance. Of course, anyone who didn't do that would be insane to, like, you're going to take out loans, you're going to ask friends, like, please, then you'll pay them back, whatever it is. But let's say you had $1 million in your bank account, which would be amazing. That would be incredible. You have $1 million in your bank account. If I told you that if you spent $10,000 on lottery tickets today, you had a 5% chance of winning the Mega Millions, you'd probably be like, I don't know if it's worth that $10,000, because it's a pretty strong percentage chance I'm not going to get that money back. And the reason I use this example is because it shows that when you actually believe that you can do something, you're going to find a way to do it. You're going to find a way to make it happen. And this holds true across every aspect of life, every goal that you might have. And whether it's weight loss, whether it's strength gain, whether it's business, entrepreneurial, whatever it is, whether family, relationship-wise, if you believe that you can succeed, then you will do what it takes. If you don't believe that you can succeed, then you won't do what it takes. That's just clear as day. So I have a feeling that through watching the videos and through doing the programming and through seeing some results, you're starting to get to a point where you're like, I can fucking do this. Like, this is a very real possibility. Is that accurate, or am I completely off base?
No, it is. It is. I mean, I never really thought about it in those terms, but I mean, if I didn't believe in myself in doing any of this, I wouldn't be doing it at all.
That's right.
You know? So, I mean, it's a good point. Yeah. I mean, cause this whole thing, joining the inner circle, and even prior to that, it's all been about just do it, just try it, just see. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, for years I've just been so afraid of just hurting myself more. And I was like, well, if I hurt myself more, I'll heal, you know, it's just be more recovery time again, you know. But I'm like, just try it and go in slower, go in, ease into it or whatever. But with a push-up, it's kind of hard to just ease into it. It's like, if you're gonna try the method, you have to kind of just go in.
That's it. That's exactly right. And believe me, I would love to use this opportunity to say, like, well, you know, it's because my programming uses this very special kind of conjugated periodization that listen, my programming, I think, is phenomenal. It's the best in the world, but I don't think my programming is what's actually helping you see progress as much as it is that your confidence in yourself mm-hmm. is helping you succeed. That's when people understand that is my major goal, to help people believe in themselves more, they'll start to understand where so much of my content comes from. When people see that my sole goal is to help you believe in yourself more, because I know what comes from that, then you can start to look at my content from a different lens and be like, oh, that makes a lot more sense as to why he posts that way, what mm-hmm. he says, why he won't just give us a plan, why he'll sort of make us, like, work for it and make, like, for it would be way easier if I, for the Unicorn Strong Challengers, gave a meal plan and I just did this. It's like, you wouldn't have had to necessarily go through tracking and meticulously counting and doing all this stuff, but through going through that trial and error, through going through that very difficult month, you've now come out on the other end so much more confident in yourself. Whereas if you look at the month after a meal plan, you're more confused. You're like, well, what do I do now? I don't want to stick to this meal plan. I don't think I can stick to this meal plan forever. So one method, when you come out on the other end, you're proud of yourself, more confident in yourself. On the other hand, the other method is you don't know what to do. You don't believe in yourself. So, and this is one of the reasons I'm so impressed and proud of you and happy with you, is like, you do the hard thing. you consistently have done the hard thing, even and especially when you might not have wanted to do it or believed you could do it. And as weird as that is, that's why you now believe you can do it, because you've been yeah. doing it. I love it. I'm super, super impressed.
Thank you. Yeah, I definitely go for the hard stuff. I don't know why, and that sounded really wrong, but
I was going to say, that's what she said.
No, I tend to always go in the hard way or whatever. And I don't know why I do that. I don't, but it just seems like that's one thing in my life that I just am like, let's just go full bore.
I love that. It says a lot about you and your character, and it's amazing.
Thanks. But I guess it's kind of one of my downfalls at the same time, because then I'm like super hard on myself.
Well, no. So that's the downfall, is being super hard on yourself, not going yeah. for the hard stuff. That's what she said. But nice. So now you just got to be more objective with yourself. And in any situation in which you're going through a difficulty, it's be more objective and treat yourself like you would treat your best friend. And understand, it's like, listen, like, you would never tell your best friend who has trouble with their scuba diving certification, like, well, you're just not strong enough, you should just quit. You'd be like, well, listen, that was a really fucking hard situation to be in. So mm-hmm. here's what we do moving forward, you know?
Yeah, no, that's, I mean, and everybody that I've talked to about this, they've never really put it in that perspective. So that helps me so much more to feel more confident going into it. Cause like, I don't want to quit. I've already spent so much time and money and energy mm-hmm. on trying to get the certification. I'm like, I'm gonna fucking do this. It's Hell gonna yeah. happen. Even if I have to travel to the Caribbean and be in like the calmest, warmest water, I really want to do it up here, because what I've heard, what I've seen is the cold water diving in an area called Whittier, Alaska. It's only like an hour out of Anchorage, and people go diving there all the time. And it's supposed to be some of the crispest, clearest waters. They see sea lions all the time
wow, swimming that's around awesome.
And lots of different sea life. And it's just, I guess it has some of the best visibility too. So, you know, in some waters you can only see 10 feet around you, but down there it's like 40, 50 feet, like just all around you, that you can, you know, have better visibility because of the cold water is so much more clear. Anyway, kind of digressing there, but
it's all right.
That's, you know, something that I've always wanted to go and check out. But anyway,
well, I want to say thank you so much for getting on the phone with me and talking with me. I really appreciate it. And I want you to know how impressed I am with you. And if you'll accept it, I would love to give you a free month in the Inner Circle as my way of congratulating you for all of your progress and your hard work. If you're okay with that, I would love to. So
sure.
Amazing.
I appreciate that.
So just do me a favor when we're off, just email me, just email Kat and she'll set okay. all that up. She'll know exactly what to do, but this has been a blessing and I really appreciate you hopping on the phone with me and talking with me, and I can't wait to keep up to date with all of your progress. Okay.
Thank you. I appreciate your time so much. And you're so enthusiastic and encouraging in every format, this YouTube, Instagram, everything. Like, I appreciate so much your positivity and encouragement in all those places.
Thank you. Thank you. Have a wonderful day. Tell your boyfriend I say hello, okay?
I will. Thanks, Jordan.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
That wraps it up for this episode of the Jordan Syatt Mini Podcast. Raylan, thank you so much for coming on. And to everyone listening, thank you so much. I hope you enjoyed the episode. If you do, please leave a 5-star review on iTunes. And if you would like to join the Inner Circle, you can do that at www.sfinnercircle.com.